the end of worship is it's actually something that's very near and dear to my heart. And it is talking about, we're going to be talking about the speaking voice of God and the relationship that we have with God and how it is an intentional relationship and how we talk to God and He talks back. And really, I mean, I touched on it last week because these last two weeks are about pursuing God. And last week we said that God reveals Himself to make Himself known to you, and He's drawing you to Himself as He reveals Himself to you. And so this morning we're going to talk about having those deep encounters with God that last a lifetime. Deep encounters with God that have a lifetime. And communication is so important. It's essential in order to have those deep encounters with God. I once heard it put this way, that do you know what God's phone number is? Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you the great and unsearchable things you do not know. God's phone number, if you ever need it, Jeremiah 33:3. But what we're going to be talking about and looking at pretty in depth today is how communication is essential. It's essential in any relationship, and especially with your relationship with the Lord. My wife and I will be married for 10 years this June. And we would not have the relationship we have had it not been for communication. Right? I'm not talking about that surface communication, how was your day, you know, that kind of stuff. But what bonds us together and what has deepened our relationship together, I'm motioning to her, she's not even here. This is my wife today. But what has bonded, what has drawn us together, what has built a depth in our relationship that has lasted for so long is our ability to communicate to one another. And our ability not to just have surface communication, again, like I'm saying, but have deep, intimate, personal communication where you allow the other person to see you for who you really are. You know what I mean? Anybody who's been married for any time, you know that, right? That you open yourself up to the other person. You allow them to see that your insides, in a sense, right? You let them to see those things that are private to you, the things that nobody else really sees but you and God. And your relationship grows deeper based on this trust that you have for this person with this information, right? And it's about being vulnerable. Being vulnerable. And that's not a weak word. And please understand, vulnerability before the Lord is something that's very, actually very strong. But it's being vulnerable to be exposed to one another. Being vulnerable to open yourself up to the other person and let them see you for really who you really are. I mean, each and every one of us, we all know ourselves better than anybody else, right? We know ourselves, except for God, nobody else knows us as well as we do. And so when we open ourselves up and vulnerably expose ourselves to somebody else, that's a lot of trust that's taking place there. You're opening yourself up and you're saying, I'm opening myself up. And what happens is that if you know, for those of you who are married, you know that your relationship has deepened because of your ability to do this and your desire to know the other person as well as they know you and as you know yourself. And so the same is true in our relationship with God. The communication is so important, isn't it? The communication with God, not to God, is essential in pursuing God and following hard after Him. As we look at this topic on pursuing God, it's so important to understand that in order to pursue after God, to pursue a relationship with God, involves communication. Communication is needed with your Creator. Like we said earlier, that Jesus died on the cross to open the door so that we could have free access to our Creator. That we no longer are separated by this massive chasm called sin, but because of what Jesus did, He removed that barrier, that chasm, and so now we have free and direct access to God. It's what He created you for, and it's what He sent Jesus to die for, to be in personal relationship with you and to be in communion with you. The voice of God is still speaking, and it's continuously speaking. If you have your Bibles, I'm sorry, Brian, I didn't have it put it up here, but if you have your Bibles, if you don't have your Bibles, there should be one in front of you. If you would turn with me to John chapter 1. We're going to be going all around the Bible today a little bit, so please stay with me. Jay, could you turn this down just a hair, please? Thank you. John chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 4, and then we're going to jump down to verse 14. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Okay? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. And in Him was life, and that life was the light of men. You flash down to verse 14. It says, "And the Word became flesh, and made His dwelling among us. And we have seen Him in His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And so I want to begin this morning by saying this. It is the nature of God to speak. It is the nature of God to speak. It is His nature to communicate His thoughts and His will and His desires to other people. It's His nature. Last week we talked about how God inherently is revealing Himself and expressing Himself to creation. You see, it's God's desire to make Himself known to you. It is His desire to expose Himself and let you see Him for all of His depth and as intimate and personal a relationship that could be. And the entire Bible confirms this truth that God is speaking. It's His nature to speak. And He's not done speaking. He's not done speaking. His very nature is Word. God is forever seeking to speak Himself, continuously expressing Himself to creation. If you think about it, this entire world is filled with the voice of God. The entire world, entire creation is filled with the voice, the speaking voice of God. He has filled the world with His voice. You see, it was the Word of God that spoke and creation came into existence. He spoke and He came into existence. He spoke something and it was done. And so His very nature is of communicating and revealing Himself. And so now when we look outside and we see the beautiful trees and the grass and the animals and everything and other people, that is the voice of God that spoke those things into existence. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? When you think about that and you really dwell on that, the earth is filled with the voice of God. Wow. It says in verse 3 here in John chapter 1 that "and through Him," and through the Word, "all things were made." All right, so through the Word, creation came into existence. And earth and all that was in it was created by the voice of God. And then it says that the Word then became flesh. The Word then became flesh, who was Jesus. All right, now, so what it's saying is that Jesus was involved in the creation process. He was highly involved. Colossians chapter 1 confirms this as well. And it says that all things were created by Him, through Him, for Him. And the purpose of the cross was to reconcile it all back to Him. All right, so here we see that here is Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of God became flesh. And it was in Jesus. Psalm 33, verses 6 and 8 says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth." It goes on to say in verse 8, "For He spoke and it came to be." He spoke and it came to me. Here's what's beautiful. Is that word "spoke" there in Psalm 33:8 is the word "amar" or "amar," right? And it means He was determined to express Himself. That's awesome. For God was so determined to express Himself and it came to be. That is beautiful. That is absolutely beautiful. For He spoke, "awar," He was determined to express Himself and it came to be. All right, I'm excited about that. But the point I'm trying to make and to help us all see this morning is that the voice of God is the most powerful voice in nature. It's the most powerful voice in all the universe. All of the energy that is in this earth, right? The complexities of our minds. I mean, how complex are these minds to be created? And the complexities of photosynthesis and plants, all of these things were created because God was determined to express Himself. And they came to be. That's awesome. His Word was being spoken and it filled the world. And now the power of His speaking voice, the power of the speaking voice of God is on display for the world to see. The power of the speaking voice of God. He was so determined to express Himself It's on display for all the world. We're going somewhere with all this, I promise. This same voice is still speaking. And his spoken words are resounding through the universe right now. The words of God are resounding through the universe right now. He is still speaking. All right? So that is the power of the speaking voice of God. Now let's look at the life that is in the speaking voice of God. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, we see Jesus, he's being led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted by the devil. Remember the story? And so after following him, I'm going to read it actually. After 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was hungry. Right? He was hungry. Obviously so. And so it says in verse 3 that the tempter came to him and said, If you are the Son of God, then tell these stones to become bread. All right? Here immediately, the devil attacks his identity as the one who is able to speak things into existence. If you are the Son of God, if you are God in the flesh, if you are the Word that became flesh, the one who is able to speak things into existence, then do that. Prove it. Tell something to come out of these rocks. Tell these stones to become bread. And right there, he attacks his identity. Right? He goes right after his identity. And what does Jesus say? He replies in verse 4. Jesus says, he's referring to the Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And he says, it is written that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Life comes. Life is in the speaking voice of God. He says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Here is Jesus, the Word of God in flesh. The Word of God came to earth to bring life. To bring life. The Word became flesh. All right, now jump over with me to John chapter 6. Back over to John. This is cool to watch all these things link up. It's really exciting. You should have seen me working this week. I get excited in my office. I'm like, they better get this. Lord, help me to communicate this as beautifully as I'm understanding it, please. We're in John chapter 6, verses 25 through 35. All right, I'm going to read this whole thing, and then we're going to look at it real quick. This is when they found him on the other side of the lake. They said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus said, look, I tell you the truth. You are seeking me, not because you saw miraculous signs, because you ate the loaves and had your fill. All right, so here he's talking about how he has provided for their needs, their physical needs there. And he's saying, hey, look, I'm telling you the truth, guys. You're pursuing me. You're seeking after me. You're looking for me. Not for the right reasons, though. You're looking for me to provide you with some good eating, right? To provide you with some food. So he says in verse 27, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. And on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. And so then they asked him, well, what must we do to do the works of God requires? And right here, Jesus knocks down all of works, and he says, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. And so they said to him, well, what miraculous sign then will you give us, that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers, they ate manna in the desert, and it is written that he gave them bread from manna to eat. And Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Here we go again. I hope you're picking up on these connections. For the bread of, verse 33 again, for the bread of God is he who comes down, word became flesh, from heaven and gives life to the world. Verse 34, he says, sir, then, from now on, give us this bread. And then Jesus declares, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. All right, so here these people are. And they're pursuing Jesus. They're pursuing after him. Right? He had a large gathering, a large following of people at this point in time. And we find out in just a little, if when you keep on reading in verse 6, and I encourage you to read chapter 6 this week, you'll see that after he says these things, after he makes these claims that I am the bread of life, so many of them just leave him and desert him. They're like, this is too hard. This doesn't make any sense. What do you mean I'm supposed to eat of your flesh? What do you mean? So anyway, read chapter 6 this week. So anyway, here are these people. He's got a large group of people following him. A massive group of people. They see him healing. They see him healing. And they're following everywhere. On either side of the lake, they're following him. They're going to the other side to follow him. And there's lines of people ready to be healed. People are pursuing Jesus. They're pursuing hard after him. And Jesus says, look, you're pursuing me for all the wrong reasons. You're pursuing me for your wants and your needs here. To fill your belly with the things that are going to spoil and fade. You want me to satisfy the things that you want that will perish, things that will not last forever. But he says, I tell you the truth. Do not come looking for me, looking for food that will perish and fade away. But come after me, pursue me for the food that will last forever, which only I can give you. If you fast forward to verse 63, Jesus says this. Verse 63, it says, this is Jesus speaking again. He says, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. And the words I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. Spirit and life. Here is the Word of God who became flesh and dwelt among us. And what He brings from heaven is life. The speaking voice of God brings life. The one who is the Word of God, the visible, audible revelation of God Himself, Jesus, who is life. He is the Word, and every word that comes from His mouth is life. And so He's saying, come after me for food that I give, for the bread that I give that satisfies your hunger. That satisfies your hunger. He's saying for that spiritual hunger that aches within you, longing to be satisfied. He's saying, come to me for what you desire, for I am life. I am life. And so what we just learned is that there's power in the speaking voice of God, and that there's life in the speaking words of God. We see that in creation and all the things that we look around and see. It's the power of God. And it also is the power of the speaking voice of God, but it is also the life of the speaking voice of God, because when He spoke things into existence, what came about? Life, right? Life came into existence, because He is life, and He brings life. Once we come alive in Christ, right? It says in Romans that when we come in life, something is birthed with inside of us. That's why we're called. That's why people refer to us as born-again Christians, right? We're born-again Christians. You must be born of water and the Spirit, Jesus says. So, When we come alive to Christ, and when we surrender our lives to Him and say, God, my life is yours. I accept this amazing gift of grace that you're offering me. When we accept that and we say, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord and Savior of my life, we become alive in Christ, it says in Romans. We come alive to Christ. So at that very moment, something is birthed within you. Life is birthed within you. And you're given this new spirit now. A new spirit. It comes to life by the Spirit of God. Okay? You with me? When we come to Christ, something is birthed into us. Life happens inside. Your spirit comes alive for the very first time. You're given a new spirit, a spirit that comes from God's Spirit. And so now, this new spirit, it has to drink and it has to eat in order for it not to only stay alive, but for it to grow. It needs to be nurtured. It needs nutrition. You with me? This new spirit that has been birthed in you needs to be nurtured. It needs nutrition. And it needs to be fed in order not only to survive and stay alive, but to grow. And what we just saw is that life is in the speaking words of God. I hope you can see where I'm going with this. If you can't, that's all right. We're going to get there. This is awesome. This is awesome. Your spirit that has now come alive for the very first time. Now, the only way for this birth spirit in you to stay alive is from that new nourishment and that nutrition. And so now go back to Matthew 4 when it says that when Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone, but by what? every word that comes and proceeds from the mouth of God. And now if you combine that with what Jesus says when he says, I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me, whoever comes after me, whoever pursues me, will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty, right? And then in John 4, he says that he is the one that provides the living water that we need. When he's talking to that woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, he says, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. And the water I give them will become a spring of water welling up in eternal life. Are you seeing where this is all going? The Word of God, the power of the speaking voice of God, who created all things into existence, became flesh and dwelt among us. And he is the bread of life. And every word that comes from his mouth is spirit and life. And whoever feeds on him, the bread of life, and whoever drinks from him will never be hungry or never thirsty. And so when your spirit comes alive for the very first time, and you know that it needs nourishment, you can tell after a while you start to get hungry, you start to get thirsty, things start to not feel right in here. It's like something's got to satisfy this. Something's been birthed in here. Now something has to satisfy this. And it's all found in the bread of life and the living water, who is Jesus Christ. And every word that comes from his mouth brings life. The nourishment is in the speaking voice of God. There's a little tip. There's a little hint right there. The nourishment and the life is in the speaking voice of God. The Word who became flesh is the one who brings life to those who seek and pursue him. The Word who became flesh is the one who brings life and sustains life and gives life to those who seek and pursue him. That's why we're saying that this is one of the values of Cornerstone, that we're going to be known as a people who will constantly, continuously pursuing hard after God, following hard after him. Because we know that you need that nourishment, that life, your spirit is meant to grow. It's been birthed inside of you. It's alive. And not only is it supposed to just stay alive, but it is meant to grow. And so when we pursue God, as we pursue God and we hear his speaking voice, and we're going to get to that in just a moment, that is the bread and the water. That is the bread of life and the living water, the life of the speaking voices of God that brings nourishment and life to our spirits. Now catch what I said there just a moment again. The Word brings life. The speaking voice of God gives life. The speaking voice of God gives life. We see it in creation, and we see it as the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh. We have life in Christ Jesus because of what he did, and he gave us his spirit to come alive. Do you see this? The Godhead, all three working together. I'm here to tell you this morning that the voice of God is still speaking. And he is continuously speaking. And not only is he continuously speaking, but the words that he spoke before the foundations of the earth are still bringing life and will forever give life. His words are eternal, eternal life. This is good. This is awesome. This is awesome. So my question to you this morning, as we've been going deep and delving into this topic of pursuing God and following hard after him, knowing that it is the very nature of God to speak, and to communicate and to express himself to you and I, and knowing that he is not done speaking, but he is continuously speaking, my question to you this morning is, are you listening to his voice? Are you continuously listening for his voice? Are you continuously listening for his voice? You see, we need his voice. We need his word in order for the new spirit that he gave us to stay alive. But more importantly, we need his word, we need his voice, in order for that spirit to grow and reach its full potential. The potential it was meant to reach before the foundations of the world, when God created you and saw you in mind, that full potential. We need the voice of God. Jesus said in John 10, Matt and Anthony said this just a few minutes ago, in John chapter 10, Jesus It says, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep will hear my voice, and I call out to my sheep by name and then lead them out. My sheep will follow me, for they know my voice. These words create expectation. They really do. And Jesus is not telling us that the voice of God is reserved for just pastors and elders and prophets and lay leaders. He says his voice is for any sheep. You know what that means? That you can hear his voice too. And what I'm trying to, and what I was trying to, the case I was trying to build just a few minutes ago is that we need to hear his voice as believers. It is essential to our life as a believer to be hearing the voice of God, to be in communication with the voice of God, to be communicating with God. Hearing the voice of God is essential to the life of a believer. Hearing the voice of God, listening to the voice of God, reading the voice of God is essential to the life of a believer. And you know, listening and hearing from God is not complex. And it's not difficult. It really, really is not. And I understand why people think that, because when you first come to the Lord, you know, things aren't all that clear yet, and understanding hasn't come there. But understand this, that God is eager to speak to you. That's what he sent Jesus to die for, so that massive chasm between us and God would be removed forever, and then we could have direct access to his voice. And we can come to him and say, hey, Abba, Daddy. Oh, Daddy, Father. And so now we have direct access to God. He's not a far-off, distant God, but he's actually given us his Spirit. He sent his Spirit to come live with us. And so God is eager to speak with you. It's why he created you, to be in relationship with you, to have a personal, deep, intimate relationship with you. And it is his will that we and desire that we recognize his voice and that we're able to understand what he's saying to us. And so if we are going to be people known as a people who are in hard pursuit after God, then there must be communication with our God. Just like you communicate with your spouse, right? Prayer is, and what I'm talking about is prayer. Prayer is communication with God. It's communing and fellowship with God. Prayer is not like leaving a voicemail where you have 90 seconds, because nobody picked up on the other line, to spout off everything that you possibly can in 90 seconds before the beep goes. Prayer is not a voicemail where we just spout off things and just I'll get there. And it's not that. Prayer is communion with God. It's a reciprocation. It is talking with your Creator. It is talking with God, not just to him. And so listening is an essential part. Listening is an essential part to the life of a believer. Listening for the voice of God is essential to the life of a believer. Remember what we said last week, that God is drawing you to himself by revealing himself to you. He wants to draw you to himself more and more. And the more and more he draws himself to you, he's revealing himself to you more and more. It brings him great joy to reveal himself to you. It absolutely does. To expose himself before you. He exposed himself pretty intimately right here in this Bible, in this Word. And so what are your conversations with God like? What are your conversations with God like? Would your prayers look more like just tossing up requests to God, your needs, your wants? Or do you listen to his needs? Well, he doesn't have any needs. But do you listen to his wants and his desires? And do you listen for his will in your life? Now, don't get me wrong. Praying for the things that you need is all well and it's good and it's scriptural and it's what God tells us to do. Cast your cares upon the Lord. Jesus said, ask for anything in my name and it will be given to you. Now, the stipulation with that verse is that when you ask for things in his name, it better be in will with his name. It better be in alignment with his name. It better be in alignment with his will. If you ask for anything in Jesus' name, if it is in alignment with his will, it will be given to you. But if all your prayers or the majority of your prayers are you talking to God and just spouting off and requesting and just shooting off, then you're missing out on the beauty and the purpose of what prayer is. Because prayer is communicating with your God. It's talking with him, not talking to him. And so do you have regular encounters like this with God? I have to. I do all the time. I have to. Because like we were saying earlier, talking with God is a vital part of the life of a believer. For you able to grow and able to not only stay, for your spirit that he placed within you to stay alive, but to grow. Because life is in the Word of God, this is in the speaking voice of God. You see, I cannot be the person that God created me to be unless I'm regularly in fellowship with God, conversing with him about anything and everything. Just like pursuing, remember you pursue, fellas and maybe women, you pursued the men. I don't know, some cases that happens. But when you're pursuing that person, you guys are engaging in conversation. In that pursuit, you engage in deep, personal, intimate conversation. And so it is in this posture of prayer and communion with God that you find everything you never knew you were even looking for. Isn't that beautiful? It is in this posture of prayer and communication with God that you find everything that you never even knew that you were looking for. And the more you seek after him, and the more you relentlessly pursue him, the more he reveals himself to you, and the more he reveals himself to you, it's like that drug again. And I don't mind saying it like this, but it's addicting. You just got to have more of it. It's awesome. You taste and you see, and I just got to have more. I just got to have more. And so reading the Bible and spending quality time with God is so important as we are pursuing God. Because this is the Word of God as well. This is the Word of God, and these words are life. His Word is alive and active, it says. And it is working in and through you each and every day. But the Bible also serves another purpose as we read it. It gives you the ability to know the voice of God. It gives you the ability to know when it is God speaking to you and not just your own imagination. Because there is that battle. There is that battle of trying to figure out when you're spending that quality time with God and you're in just you and him time, just you and him, nobody else. You remove yourself from all distractions and noise. And it's just you and him, and you're praying to him and you're asking him questions and you're reading his word and he's answering you. And I don't know about you, but when I'm talking with God, he leads me with questions a lot. A lot of times he'll give me answers, but he will stretch me by asking me questions. You know, he will ask, "What do you think? What does my word say about this?" Or things like that. He will stretch me by asking me questions and ask him to go for it. You know, go for more of it. And so, reading the Bible, when you read the Bible, you get to know the heart and the nature and the character of God. You get to, this is the full picture. This is his nature and his character. We see the Word of God. We see the life of God written out for us. And so, when you read the Bible, and the more you spend time with him and quality time, and you study his Word, you are able then to decipher and discern when you're in those quiet solitude times that it's his voice speaking to you and not just your own imagination. Because when it's God's voice speaking to you, it will fall into alignment with what the Word of God says. It's one of the advantages that we have that the disciples didn't have. We have the Bible. We have the full story. They had his physical presence, which I'm pretty envious of, you know. And now we have the presence of God in spirit, and so we have to believe in faith, but we also have the Word of God. We have the Word of God. You know, King David did not have the Bible, but he did have regular encounters in the presence of God, in the communion with God, and he sought after God, and he took initiative in talking to God. You see, God took the initiative, we said last week, by revealing himself in loving kindness to us. He took the initiative. Before any of us made a decision to follow him and to believe in him, he took the initiative. His grace was there first, and we saw his revelation, and he revealed his loving kindness to us, and it drew us to respond and say, "Yes, I will follow you anywhere you want me to go." And so now in response to his love being revealed, we reciprocate that love. We reciprocate that love by drawing near to him. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. It's intentionally setting time aside for nothing else but God. It's got to be an intentional effort. Just like it was an intentional when you were pursuing your spouse. You guys, and continuously pursuing your spouse. I have to be intentional to set dates aside. You know, in our busy lives, we are all busy people. We're all busy people. But you have to set time. I have to set time aside in my busy life to be just with my wife so that her and I can talk and communicate and dream together. you know, and talk about the future together, talk about our kids together. Because in the busyness of life, in the hectic of life, you don't get that opportunity. But it's got to be an intentional effort to put everything else aside and attend just to God. And in those times, He will encourage you. He will correct you. He will remind you. He will teach you. He'll show you things that you failed to see before you came to Him. So what do you mean, have a conversation with God? I mean just that. I mean speak to God. Because he is speaking. He is continuously speaking. And He speaks back through His Holy Spirit. And everyone in here, if you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God has given you His very same Spirit. Jesus says in John 14 that the Holy Spirit sent by the Father will be the one to communicate to us all things that come from God. Communicate. He will be the Holy Spirit is your communicator. He is your communicator. Jesus goes on to say in John 16, he says, here's Jesus, he's preparing to be arrested and his time has come to go to the cross. And he says, he's with the disciples around the Last Supper time. And he says, there's just so much I want to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. This is John 16, 12 through 15. There's so much more I want to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, okay, who is the Spirit of truth? It is the Spirit of Jesus, because Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. So this is the very Spirit of Jesus. Okay, so he says, when my Spirit comes to you, He will guide you in all truth. He will not be presenting His own ideas, but He will be telling you what He has heard. He will be speaking, telling you what He has heard. And He will bring glory to me by what? Revealing to you what He receives from me. Here's Jesus, the Word who became flesh, saying that the Holy Spirit, His very Spirit, will continue this relationship that He had with His disciples, where He was able to speak with them and talk with them on deep, personal, intimate levels. And He will speak to you when He hears from me, and He will reveal to you what He receives from me. The Holy Spirit is the best communicator. I know. He absolutely is. He's the best. He's a pretty good author too, isn't he? Wrote the all-time best-selling. And you know what? He wrote this through people. He spoke to people, and he taught people, and he reminded people of the things that Jesus said, and he inspired them to put a pen down on paper and write it down. This is the Word of God. Because it's God's Spirit talking. It's God's Spirit talking. And He illuminates the things of God. Hearing the voice of God through the Holy Spirit is the same as knowing the voice of my wife. You know, when I'm talking to my wife, and I'm going to finish up. Actually, Anthony, would you? You know what? We're not going to do that this time. It's when you're communicating with the Holy Spirit, it's the same as when you're communicating with your wife. You know, I don't need to see my wife's face to know it's her talking to me. I know her voice. I've known her for a long time, and we're still getting to know each other. We're still getting to know each other. But I can recognize her voice because I know her. I know it's her talking. I can actually recognize her text when she's talking because I know the way she talks, right? I understand that. And so I know my wife's voice, and I've spent a long time getting to know her. And it's the same thing in our relationship with God. And when we read His Word, we get to know Him. We get to know His heart, His desires. And then you soon realize that it's all out of a love for you, that He just wants to talk to you and be in continuous relationship with you. Again, it's His nature to speak and reveal Himself to you, to reveal His character and His purpose to you. And after a while, you'll begin to hear His Spirit respond to you in conversation. But it takes practice. It takes practice. And you'll know it's God because you've gotten to know Him. You've gotten to know Him, and so now you're able to recognize it's His voice because it's in alignment with His Word. It's in alignment with His nature and His character. And so when you begin to have a conversation with Him and ask Him questions, you'll hear His Spirit speak to your spirit. As much as I wish it was an audible voice, oh Lord, I wish, you know? There's times when you just need an answer right away, you know, and you need direction right now. I need to know what to do right now, God. I need You to just please just speak to me audibly just one time. And I won't ask it again. God, you know those times. And I've heard that there are people who have heard the audible voice of God. But for the majority of us, you don't hear the audible voice of God. It is God's Spirit speaking to your spirit. And he makes himself known to your spirit. And you'll know it's him because it's in alignment with his word. And if you ever have questions or whether you are sensing in your spirit that is the voice of God or something else, just look at the content. Just look at the content. Is what you felt in your spirit or heard in your spirit in alignment with his word? Is this something God would say? And if you don't know, ask him to show you. And ask him to confirm it with his word, the Bible. This is the best instruction you